Blog Talk Radio.
Wonderfully talented Shout Even Shy, and she was singing the words "You Cannot Say." You have found yourself in another part of reality and another part of broadcasting here on Blog Talk Radio. This is a team of voices. We are a poetry group on allpoetry.com, and we are sponsored by the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation. I am A.P. Taylor. And we have along with me my co-hosts. We have Deborah Lee. Hi, Deb. How are you?
Well, how are you?
I am well, thank you. And we have the writer of said song that we just heard, none other than Jay Hatter. How are you, Hatter?
It's fine, AP. Thanks for the call, Deb.
You're welcome.
Excellent. So, we're all good. And This is sort of a strange old day, Hatter, because we've got a couple of superpowers in this world, and one of them imploded overnight, basically, that being Russia. So I don't know if you were following it, Hatter. Did you follow along with what was going on?
As of today, what happened today?
Yes.
No.
Yes. Okay. Well, let me give you a short summary. Okay.
Was it the coup? Was the coup thing?
Yes, the coup thing. Let me give you a short summary of the coup thing. Yes. And when I'm talking about coup, I'm talking with a C-O-U-P, not a coup as in a pigeon. I'm talking a C-O-U-P coup. Armed insurrection, yeah, all that, yeah. Once upon a time in Russia, the leader decided instead of having his own people be the soldiers, he'd create a mercenary armed force. Yeah, mercenary armed force. And but not only would he create a mercenary armed force, he would give them the best equipment and stuff, and he would let them loose wheresoever he wanted to go, and he did it a couple of times in Chechnya, and now he decided to put them into the Ukraine. And they were controlled by a gentleman called Pogrodin. Anyway, Mr. Pogrodin got rather upset about 48 hours ago because he accused the Russian military of going and basically seeking out his troops and seeking out his bases and rather unpleasantly putting a couple of missiles, large ones, into it. And so he got very upset by this, Hatter. He got very upset by this, and being very upset by this and having 25,000 troops fully armed, he decided to go into Russia instead of the Ukraine, and he took over one of the larger cities, Rostov. Yeah? You with me so far? So he gets out of his bases and goes and takes over a major Russian city. Yeah? Like the Cincinnati. Having done that successfully, he then looks and says, well, if I can go and take over Rostov, maybe I can go a little bit further. Because Rostov's like 1,000 kilometres from Moscow. And so what he decides to do is get a whole heap of troops in a convoy, tanks, flatbeds, and he starts going up the highway to Russia, to Moscow. Like, up the main highway. Why not? And so he gets to within 200 kilometres of Moscow in a day with all of his flatbeds and tanks and everything else. And the Russians start panicking, bombing their own fuel terminals to stop him from getting fuel with helicopters. They start digging up their own highways with excavators to try and stop the things going down. Anyway, all of this goes on. It takes 24 hours or so. And then the Russian president reaches out to one of his few remaining people that he speaks to in another country, and they negotiate a settlement just like that, and so it stops. And so sort of had a very strange 24 hours in world affairs, Patter, it's fair to say. We've had what used to be considered a superpower not look so super anymore. Crazy stuff. Absolutely
crazy.
Yeah,
even crazier. Even crazier, because we were just talking about people that shoot themselves in the foot. He sure sounds like he shot himself in the foot.
But he shot himself in all sorts of places, can I suggest to you. And so, and ones that lose a lot of blood. And so they're saying that the next 24 hours is critical, because the question is, now that you've got the trouble with dictators is once they're dictators rely on, of course, nastiness and stuff, and if they're shown not to be terribly dictatorial, then other people tend to, you know, decide to go and do things. So anyway, there you go. That's a world update, Hatter. Russia.
Yeah, remember what Saddam Hussein did, you know, lighten up the oil field.
Yeah.
That was an environmental disaster in itself.
Well, it was. And look, the question is here, what happens from here, Hatter, really? Because, you know, what does Putin decide to do to show that he's a big, nasty person? Yeah, and that's a worry.
What do you think? Me and you had a discussion when I was in Australia down there with you. What do you think he's capable of right now?
Just about anything.
Is he going to light one up? You think he's going to light one up?
Smarter people than me, Hatter, have said that is an option for him. Yeah. So people who are, as I said, far smarter and far more you know, on top of what's going on, is basically saying that there's a reasonable chance that that's a real live option for him. Yeah. And you know, this is, and so for all of, you know, the ridiculousness that's gone on, you know, we may, you can see, even worse, because, you know, what happens from here to show that, you know, he's still in power and still a nasty dictator, and of course that's one of his options. He has nuclear weapons, scarily enough.
What about his other? What about his cabinet and his other generals, or by Putin's?
Yes.
Are they siding? Yes. Are they staying out of it? Or
well, it's a little bit hard to tell at the minute because it's all, you know, somebody sort of said on the internet, well, you know, I had an understanding of how Russia worked until 11 hours ago, and then it all got thrown out the window. And so there's a whole heap of experts out there trying to work out what this actually means at the minute. Nobody, I think it's fair to say, quite knows, except whatever happens, it would appear that Putin is substantially, you know, has substantially less power and whatever than what he did before. So I'm not sure that's a good thing, by the way, you know. You know, dictators who, you know, get found out as sort of, you know, almost like the emperor with no clothes, you know, you don't want to be work out what people do when they're embarrassed like that. Yeah. And
like the ride home in the the ride home with Hitler after the 76 Olympics. Yeah. That must be great.
You don't want to have a situation where you don't know what somebody's going to do. And I think at the minute, all of us watching at the minute have absolutely no idea what Putin's going to do next.
I would hope he would know that any nuclear action makes him a Hitler. It does.
Well,
so.
Yeah, although
I don't think he wants that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, I unfortunately, the terrible thing about dictators is like, and this is a situation where, you know, he's got to still show somehow that he's in control of things, and I just don't know what he's going to do, Hatter. I really don't.
Are we talking to him at all?
Sorry?
Are they talking to Putin at all?
Well,
anybody?
I don't think it. Well, there's not many people who've got a line to Putin. I don't think, Hatter. Maybe the French. Yeah. I don't know. But as I said, that
it's
a bit like an animal
Putin
with a cornered cage.
Yeah. Yeah, Putin could always call. Putin could be the one to call and go, "Hey, what's all that about?" So I don't know if he's running scared. He had to know.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. Look, who knows? You'd have to hope he's reaching out to somebody, but you know, it is a. I guess what I'm saying is that, you know, I've seen a lot of things in human history and. The last 24 hours in Russia is the most strange thing I've ever seen, without a shadow of a doubt. It is bizarre, yeah? And, you know, we'll just have to see what happens here, but who the hell knows? We've never sort of been here before, so let's hope that everybody is at least vaguely sensible for 2 minutes. But let's just see what that means. I'm certainly concerned about what it means.
It reminds me of that gentleman I met down at your place. He was Chinese.
Yeah.
His name was Peter. And he asked if he could sit next to me while I was taking a break from walking. I said, yeah. First thing he does is say, you know, Chinese people, we don't want war. We don't want any of this, you know, kind of thing.
Yes.
We just like to be peace. I go, I can totally dig that. So, you know, the Russian people running freaking scared too.
Oh, no, I completely. Yeah, completely. I mean, if I'm a Russian person waking up today, I'm very scared, Ada, because the world all of a sudden looks very, very different than what it did 24 hours ago, you know?
You think there's anybody around Putin that could say, listen, you can't do that?
I actually don't know, Hatter. I don't know, and I don't think the West knows either. That's the problem. If I don't know, that's fine. But if we all don't know, then that's a problem. And he's
that's
been
true.
Not particularly predictable for the last period of time, and I don't think this is going to add to his predictability. So, I mean, this is the closest
What about the report that he was dying and has cancer or whatever that rumor was?
Oh, well, look, I think there's a fair bit of, I think
propaganda.
There's a fair bit of wishful thinking in that. Wishful thinking, I'd call it, Hatter.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, he's not showing any obverse signs of looking any, you know, different to what he looked before. I think it's wishful thinking. So, that is my short and long of, you know, rather... strange
around the world and
historical day. It has.
And
it's
we were there.
It's been a weird day. Anyway, it has got absolutely nothing to do with our topic, Hatter, I have to say. Absolutely nothing to do with our topic for today, because we set a topic for everybody to write to. And today's topic is palette, and it's a little bit hard to see how you can sort of put that topic anywhere near what's just happened, but... anyway, we're unloading the try. Do you have a go at doing a palette song, Hatter, and how did you find it?
A palette song?
A palette poem.
Oh, a poem.
Poem.
All right.
Yeah, no, I want a poem. I'm not a poetry show.
Whose do you want?
Well, I was going to ask if you wanted to go first.
Oh, sure. I think I posted it.
Yep.
In there.
He posted it?
So you grab it?
Okay. No.
I can
help me find it.
Well, you'd be quicker.
Let me get there. Okay. And it's up on the wall, is it, Hatter?
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, it's on the topic board.
Just 1 second. Oh, it's on the topic board. Oh, you're in front of me, Deb. Thank you. So, let me go to the tape and let me grab the copy link. Let me go to, I'm doing this on my mobile, my iPad.
Oh, okay. I can.
Hi, Tiwi, by the way. Hi, Tiwi, that's it. And Hatter, your palms on the board.
Okay. Yeah, Praying While Screaming. Great title. It goes like this. The palette drips of yellow splatter upon the glass that learns to shatter. Taken down to view the ground, there's always something left behind. Words of wisdom in a good position that promise to make it rhyme. Counting the sins where it all begins, surely they do not care. Simple things run one turn wondering, asking if they plan to share. Dreaming to be a lonely man left out in the rain, never found nobody around. Isn't this insane? Three wishes to be somebody else, colored worlds before my eyes, painting the graves with willow trees, watching the ghost fly by. How did it all come to be? No one was quite sure, costing me everything, trying to find a cure. Without the meaning of life as we breathe, praying while screaming, to just let it be, learning to love beside of me.
Simple. Interesting, Hatter. Interesting. You sort of took the drips of the palate to be the sort of the start of the inquiry. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was sort of the door opener, and then you sort of went from there, which is really sort of a really interesting sort of like a philosophical sort of take on a person and what was left and how they fitted in with everything. So I thought it was a really interesting poem. What did you think?
Well, I don't know. I kind of felt some Beatles influence in there as you were reading, Hatter. Words of wisdom, like little nods that took me away and had me singing Beatles songs in my head. I like Three Wishes to Be Somebody Else, Colored World Before My Eyes. Three Wishes to Be Somebody Else. I don't know. I've had a lot of wishes, but not to be somebody else. Why would you not want to be you, Hatter?
It's a poem.
Oh, I know. Usually, well, often some of the stuff is like your subconscious, so it kind of painting the graves with willow trees, watching the ghosts fly by. There was a spookiness to that whole stanza there. Graves and wanting to be somebody else. But the poem is really, really cool.
It was a lot longer and edited. Yeah.
The eyeball that you've attached, that you drew, is pretty wicked, too. It's like an eyeball on excessive coffee. It's really cool.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, sort of the stories told from the painting. Those brushes look like willow trees.
Yeah, okay. I get it. Interesting. Perspective painting. I like that. And oh, I didn't ask you, Hatter. Was that an easy write for you? Was it an easy prompt or not?
I jumped on it this time. I had it already written. It was about twice as long, and then I did a final edit, I think, yesterday.
Yeah.
And that's probably why it's a little sporadic. It didn't lead into each other, but I did like the lines.
Yeah. No, it was interesting. Okay, cool. We should head to the next poem. And I should say too, Hatter, you've got to come up with a topic, of course, for next week. Yeah. So I saw Pee Wee on the board, so I might actually do his poem next. Bear with me while I do that.
I'd be thinking.
Pee-wee's always been a great supporter of the show, actually, in terms of coming up with poems and sending them in and doing all that stuff. And so I'm just going to go to the we've got a SoundCloud from Pee-wee, so thank you for doing that. And we are going to play that now. Here we go.
When genocide gets handed out in equal portions, in his little satchel that stork now carries abortions. On a cloudy day, when the moon still blinds your eyes, you'd go to the cemetery and bring him back to life. And when the gray sunshine blocks out all the skies, easel, palette, and painter brushes away all the lies. Tidal waves come crashing down, drowning out earth. Mothers won't remember your place and day of birth. Should you give me love, it's not attached to strings. like a microphone, I'd use this loaded handgun and sing. Interior and walls painted with my brains and now dies. I believe that'll be the day you let me dry my eyes.
That's a very neat poem, Peewit. It's a very neat, the rhyme scheme on the way through, and I particularly like the last stanza, interior and walls painted with my brains and not eyes. I believe that'll be the day you let me dry my eyes. Very, very nice. Like that a lot. Deb, did you want to say a few words about Peewit's piece?
Yeah, well, for starters, I agree with you that that closing stanza there is like, oh, I was definitely not expecting him to say paint it with my brains and not dies. So that was really potent. But all through it, the visuals were really strong. The cloudy days and the gray sunshine. And I mean, I really like when that was included. And then Easel's palette and painter brushes away all those lies. And that concept is pretty cool because you can turn around and grab your paintbrush and take a scene that's and make it bolder, which is actually one of your specialties. So there's something there about brushing away the lies or just making it better, period. And the tidal waves crashing and drowning out the earth. I mean, it was just, mothers won't remember your place and day of birth. I mean, there was emotion and the sights and sounds and leading us all the way up to painting with those brains. I was like, damn, hell of a share.
Yeah, neat, wasn't it? Really neat. Loved it a lot. Anyway, Hatta, what did you think of this one?
Yeah, I thought it very moving on the abortion, mentioned abortion. Yeah, it shook. It was dark, and it had a strong message. I felt. It reminded me of, I saw this video of these guys and girls are having like a debate, I guess.
Yeah.
And the guys are talking about abortion issues, and the way the women or the girls talked was very disturbing. Like it was,
yeah,
not, it wasn't living unless it was full term and delivered. It was the only time you could call
yeah.
it a baby. And that's the way they acted. I was like, wow, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, strong message in it. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah. No, it was, it was, and of course always beautifully produced Peewee and just the way that you played with that backing music at the end was just very, very, very neat. So I enjoyed it. And thank you for putting that in. Deb.
Yes.
Do we want to do your poem next?
We can do that. I'll grab it now. Yeah, for me, it was a breeze because I have a ton of poems related to Mother Earth's palette. So I just went and grabbed one that thought it would be a good one to share.
Perfect.
And it's on the board now. And it's called...
Beautiful.
Isn't that such a pretty place, man? Anyway, it's Eclectic Cologne. Smell nature's color palette. And here we go. A spectacular view out the window. As the morning sun rises, it glows. Warm breezes blow in the green meadow. An eclectic cologne tickles my nose. Heather, daffodils, and snapdragons ride the warm wind as it softly blows. Tulips in purple, pinks, and yellows grow together in colorful rows. Lady slippers dance with the wind. The iris and pansies tap their toes. Brazen bluebonnets tip their hats. Then white honeysuckles meet crimson rose. all the seasonal sounds are in symphony. Crickets chirp to the calling of crows. Bumblebees buzz as morning doves coo, hearing the trek of a buck and his does. Cool lake tops reflect spring panorama. Mirrored view ripples as waters ebb and flow. Rows of cypress stand tall beside evergreens. Branches sway, but their trunks strike a pose. Mountains stand tall, guarding the horizon. Now pearly white peaks are so high up it snows. Fluffy clouds float across the bright blue sky as Mother Earth's color palette overflows. End poem.
Isn't that nice? It's set they're loose in a garden with flowers and put some color in it and just away and roll, really. It's a brilliant piece, Deb. Fantastic inspiration from the picture, but it just rolls beautifully down the page with colours and just sort of bathes the senses. Really, it's just beautiful. So great poem.
Thank you so much.
Patter, did you want to say a few words?
Yeah, let me find the spot. I had it. The honeysuckle. Where is it? Oh, it's like a boxing match. In this corner, white honeysuckle. In this corner, crimson rose.
And here I thought you were going to go for those brazen blue bonnets tipping their hats.
So this is good. This is classic Deborah. It seems it just flows. Just flowing. You're a flower.
I was flowing, trying to keep that unirhyme O's going down the page. But yeah, Mother Earth color palette and my crayon box.
There you go.
The whole thing there.
No, it's a beautiful thing. Just
I could get lost in that picture between the Victorian house and the ivy and the flowers, and it's a stunning place. So anyway.
it's just a classic sort of. A classic sort of house and garden that's been put together with a lot of thought and a lot of love,
Yep. And I bet the pollinators in that area are very happy with that place.
You bet. Yeah, I still remember doing a sort of garden rent on an old Victorian house because the houses themselves are lovely and it feels almost like you're dressing them up, for want of a better word, you know? And the colours are just beautiful and a garden really sort of, as I said, sort of drapes itself around the house. It's just lovely when it works like that.
And there's already like a classic feel just when you lay your eyes on a Victorian home, but there's something that adds to the old world charm of the Victorian era with this mega garden. It's just stunning all the way around from the wrought iron gate to the lamppost to the weather vane on top. I mean, it's perfection.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful. Yeah, just beautiful.
It's the windows. So, it's the windows.
It's the windows, Heather.
Well, they're gorgeous. True.
When I was a young man, I worked with a guy, a buddy of mine named Mark, and he got us a side job. He was in. I was working in the lumber department in a retail store, and he was in the hardware and paint, and he got us a job.
Yeah.
This elderly lady had to have her house prepped throughout the painters in. So Mark volunteered me and him. It was a Victorian And do you know how many scrolling awnings and the frames around every window is?
It's a huge amount of work.
Oh my God! Yeah, don't ever volunteer to prep a Victorian house
of
painting.
It's a huge amount of work. I spent 10 years doing up a Victorian house, and it's a wonderful thing to do, and you feel a great sense of accomplishment in doing it. But it's just a lot of effort, Hatter. It really is. And you find the thing with a Victorian house is that you can spend $50,000 on something that you can't even see. You know, like the back
floor
of this place. Yeah, or just
found
a disaster and stuff. Yeah, we just had to redo foundations and. You know, you shut it back up again and looked as if nothing had gone except $50,000 had gone. You know, it was just crazy. But they're beautiful houses. They really are. They're lovely places. So, anyways. Hatter, are you thinking about your topic for next week?
Yeah, I think we're going to go peaches.
We can do that.
Yummy.
We can do peaches. Peaches? Yeah, I've got stories about peaches. We can go peaches. Let's do peaches. Great topic.
I had this friend online. Her name was Max. It's the girl that I met in New York. She flew from London to New York, and I flew from California. We during the time of our 13-year relationship, just talking back and forth, she said that she'd always dreamed of owning a Victorian house, an old Victorian small house. So I told her that I would buy her one.
Oh God!
And one day I was in this thrift shop, consignment shop, and here was a handmade Victorian house. Was about 2 feet tall.
Oh, really? That's cool.
About a foot and a half wide all the way around, and it was a beautiful, beautiful. Every roof and every gable and every window and door opened would be a compartment. So I put little chains and rings and everything, you know, in every place that you could, and sent it to her. I told her.
Oh,
here's
fun.
Your Victorian house.
Very cool.
Yeah.
No, it's okay. I mean, what used to happen back in the day is that apprentices, used to do little projects that were small versions of the real thing. Yeah, so they used to do little chests of drawers. Or they used to do, in this particular case, potentially, a little house, and that was their sort of job, you know, that they got to prove themselves, you know, and it was really interesting. That was the way things happened, and getting a small house, they're quite special, Hatter, because there's not many of them that were done. So, anyway, there you go. Well done.
Yeah, they were. I used to make these sportsman hutches. These little what do they call it, shadow boxes, but they were framed in white fur. I would carve either a bench or a desk and a fishing rod or a double barrel shotgun, glue them together, put them on the wall, get a picture, you know, all this, and then vacuum seal them, and I had it out for presents. But I would. We had a miniature shop. You go in there, you could buy little cans of beer, any label, or you could get little watering cans or tea sets that were all scaled down. They get really elaborate.
That's amazing. So, yeah, no, it's just amazing what you can find out there and what people will do. Yeah, and as I said, those apprentices sort of things that you were talking about in terms of that, you know, house are just just fantastic things. You know, they really are. So
yeah, all my friends got them on the walls.
Yeah, I would have been really, you know, super impressed if I got one of those for Hatter. So there you go. Anyways, I guess what we should do is that we should and sweet, yes, us guys are on now. Us guys are on now. So if you want to join us, you should. And I have just put up a photo. I was looking to do that for donkeys of the Victorian house that I restored, Hatter. And that garden was the one that, apart from the magnolia tree at the front there, was all stuff that I planted.
AP.
Yes.
Wow.
Why can't you hear a pterodactyl going to the bathroom? Because the
I
pee
don't
is
know,
silent.
Hatter, why?
The pee is silent.
Very nice. I like that.
God.
I like that a lot. No, no, dumb. So yes, all the if you look at the front of that place, there's a beautiful old magnolia tree, and just next to the staircase. But every other plant that you can see there, from the front to the back, I put in over the period of 10 years. So, and the back was the front.
You drew this once or twice, didn't you? In your drawing?
I've drawn a similar one. Yeah, I drew the one from Northcote. That was the one before. I haven't drawn this one. Very, very nice sort of 1880 Italianate sort of place. The classic Gold Rush house, Hatter.
Oh, there it is. Oh, nice.
Is that
the
porch behind all the trees? A front porch? Is that a front porch behind all the trees?
Yes, it is a front porch. Yes, went all the way down to a return to the lounge room at the side. Yes.
Wow. It's really, really a nice place.
Oh. Beautiful place. Yes. So,
Are those rose bushes? Are those rose bushes?
At the front there? No, there were a series of sort of falling plants that the ones at the front, they look a little bit like roses, but they're like Australian melaleucas. They're natives. They've got sort of green and red sort of leaves, and then they have lovely white flowers in spring. So you'd have that whole thing would look.
That's a cottage. It looks like a cottage. Tucked away in
Now, we have a visitor. Hello, 720. How are you?
We're well. How are you guys?
We're good. We're talking pallets, but we're also talking houses and stuff. So anyway, and I started off with a 10-minute soliloquy on Russia, just for the fun of it.
Well, alrighty then. I thought you guys were on at 8 o'clock my time, so it's only 7 o'clock my time.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, we're on 9 to 10
yes.
Eastern nowadays, just for an hour.
Yes.
I thought you were at 8 to 9 my time, so it got backed up, and I'm not paying attention, so there you go.
No.
Well, I'm glad you looked. I like to hear your voice.
I am too.
Yeah.
I am too. So, I can show you the current, quite apart from the house that I did up. I sold that. Yes, it was a nice house, but I sold it. So you know, they should do.
It's
a very nice house. It's a very nice house, and you know, we got it when it was in bloody awful condition, and it was in good condition when I sold it. So that's all you can do, isn't it? You just sort of make things better and go along. So.
You showed me the remodel of the inside too, isn't it? I saw the inside.
Yeah, I had inside wall down. Did the I'd bet, and yeah, all sorts of bits and pieces to it. So yeah, as I said, it was a 10-year journey with that one, and all the gardens, you know, because you can't just plant things and all of a sudden, you know, they're decent size. You have to give them a bit of time. And so yeah, so all the gardens took a while to grow up, as they do in these things. As I said, apart from the magnolia, which was there to start with, it was like a, I reckon it was about a 90-year-old magnolia. It was just a brilliant plant. Anyway, there you go. Now, talking about the wonderful world of palettes, I've got my current one that I'm working on. I'm doing this sort of Central Australia thing. You can see some sort of guidelines in the front there, and I'm going along the back for the sort of mountain in the back. So that's sort of starting at the back and moving forward, basically. But that's the current one as it stands.
Sweet. When he showed me this one, my first thought was, whoa, red rum.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of red, but it's getting darker as we go on, and the reds are sort of the background colour, if that makes sense. It's sort of more browny sort of colour once it's sort of finished. But anyway, there you go. That's what's happening at the minute on the board in terms of painting. So I should go to my poem, which is a simple piece of ply, and it goes a little bit like this. Shades refine from simple tubes see, vibrant colours hit as a mallet. Mixed by accident or design, soon does cream learn to flee, absent chives or even a shallot. The missing crackers fine, while the wine not even yet a plea, may not have been to one's palate. Within paint tubes one can soon find the moulding of essence by creativity, as we shape clay with a palette. With brush strokes we refine when released free on a palette. End poem.
Okay, so I see the, or I hear the pattern of the poem,
yeah.
And
yes.
I see the pattern
yes.
of the palette.
Yes.
I think you did a little bit of showing off with that one, because you not only shaped it, but you, it's a form, right?
It's not a form as such as one I've made up, but it's only, it's sort of like a classic sort of three end rhyme sort of down the poem sort of thing. So it sounds, it looks a bit strange when you actually recite it, actually doesn't sound too bad.
Yeah, no, and it looks like it's got the thumb hole for, you know, to hold on to.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool.
See the thumb hole.
Huh. That's funny that you see a palette, but I also see the F of a paintbrush in that.
Ah, no, that's neat as well. I agree with you,
cool.
Sweet. I'm with you. I see that too. Yeah, that's very cool.
It's a French palette.
It is. It is. I mean, it's got something. So, Hatter, what did you think?
I have to read it again because there is a pattern in it, and I was trying to pick it up. By the time I did, it was over.
That's a bit like that. Yeah. Understood. But it's a reasonably simple pattern. It's just a simple sort of 1, 2, 3 sort of internal end rhyme thing that just goes down the page. So it's not trying to be, you know, too clever. It's just a, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, I think it's the shape. The shape falls off.
Sweet. What did you think?
Well, I think it's goes from the mixture of paint and wines and cheeses and smokes and you know, the creativity of just a wooden, of something like wooden. It's a woody, smoky taste of a cheese or a wine or the wooden palate. There's just so much that can be taken from it. you can be very creative in what you pair together. And that's kind of what I see is all these different pairings, you know, chives and shallots and cheese and wines and paints and colors. And I just see all these different pairings. Like you talk about strokes and clays and pots. And so I just keep seeing all these different pairings throughout this whole thing. And that's kind of what I like about it. So it's not only a shape poem and your rhyme and all of that, but I see pairings as I read through it.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I what sort of happened was that I got to Cream, and then I sort of linked the Cream to the chives, and then away I went. So I sort of went on this sort of little sort of poetic flight of fancy, but it was all due to Cream at the end of the day. There you go. Sometimes it happens like that.
I like it.
Thank you. Now, Sweet, you may not have, probably don't have, poem on palette or something to do with arty stuff.
Are you kidding me?
Mate.
I have one ready.
How good's that? Love your work.
Of course I do.
Well, that's good. If that's the case, we should get you to do it. And yes, my bear always watches me paint.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know whether you've noticed that, but above the. Always, if you look at a picture of me with the easel up, the bear is there, not far away.
You love that.
Okie doke. Well, we are in your hands, Sweet.
Okay. The caramel skin lies on the white sheepskin neck of grace, a fullness of breath, softness of stomach where a man can lie, hips that splay out longest legs, a woman. Candlelight use a flame pale against parted crimson lips unbreathing oxygen to grow unbridled hues of red and blue to the light, the dim romantic darkness of a room. Disturbed by shadows and oil paintings, he brushes black onyx curls with a view of soul and emerald eyes. And in the silence of her beauty, he paints. And poems.
The muse. The muse, that's where we are, Sweet. I know, the muse. I've got a teddy bear. This person's got a perfectly lovely lady. Who's winning? Well, you be the judge. But I mean, lovely. Very, very nice. I enjoy it a lot. Deb, did you want to say a few words?
Yeah. Well, I like that it's the painter, like, you know, the thinker. Well, this one's the painter. And it starts out with that caramel skin and the candlelight hues of flame pale against painted crimson lips. There's something, there's an old-fashioned feel about those crimson lips. So even though you can't see them in the art, you give the visual there when you mention them. And in that last stanza, they're disturbed by shadows in oil paintings. He brushes back onyx curls for a view of her soul in emerald eyes. I like the classic feel to your poem, Sweet. That it really, really fits the painting, and I really like the painting. There's something. I'm assuming that because she's like sort of bent over, like is where were you? Did you have the thinker in mind when you named it the painter?
To be very honest with you, no.
Because it just seems so perfect, and it for something like this is the female version of the thinker. I don't know. Anyway, you know, there was a real classic feel to it, and I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you, Deb. And Hannah, what did you think?
Yeah, well, who are you, and what have you done with Sweet Pea?
No.
No, it's very good.
Yeah.
I think it's that bare shoulder. She's barren. But the trash me like, very good. A little bit of brevity. Hips that splay out longest legs. A woman. So this is your what is a woman answer? Yeah, hips.
I guess.
What was with that question anyway? Why was that going around and being so hard to define? What is a woman?
I don't know.
I get that.
Good question, but probably not one to ask with 4 minutes to go, Hatter, or otherwise you're not going to get a great answer. Now, Ned, did you want to talk about what's coming up in the next show?
Yes, I do. So on Monday night at 10 for Personal Prompt Monday, we are featuring words by none other than Purple Chaos. And then I paired it with a whole lot of beautiful art by an artist, Jessica Elaine, who I know that Chaos likes. So I think there's a little bit of something for everyone to choose from as far as the art. And I tried to come up with a couple paintings that I thought or pictures that I thought would go with each quote to make it easier for everyone to choose. So if you didn't already get your art, grab it. And on Tuesday night, it is time for Off the Rack with Raconteur. And he goes live. I'm checking to make sure he didn't change the startup time this week, just to be sure. Why can't I find his topic?
10
p.m. Okay. I think he's going to stay from his old time was 11, so I think he's going to stay with the 10 p.m., which is perfectly fine. And his topic is lonely and loneliness. So wherever that takes you is what he would like to hear about. So there's the next couple shows. And
perfect.
A little nudge to anyone listening that there are still a handful of slots left in the latest installment of the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation contest. And so far to date, he's already awarded $600. So if there's a slot left, grab it.
Just FYI, I will not be doing my show until July. I will be in Wyoming next week.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yes. I am so sorry. Yeah, I have to go up there.
No need to be sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go and change that date to next week. So that'll be, let me see here, though. So it's the 29th it was. So it's the 6th it will be. I'm changing that now, please.
Thank you.
Thank you, Deb.
Before
we go, Deb, we're looking for great poems in the poetry competition, in the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation competition. We're looking for great poems. This one's not a great poem, but it's okay. And this is On Topic. This is Overgrown, a Villanelle. And it goes a little bit like this. Overgrown, do my thoughts condense, colour tumbles into a field of flowers prancing on a fence. Within the dark grasses so dense, here pink, yellows and crimson yield. Overgrown, do my thoughts condense. Below the worn paling suspense, thistles a dance upon wind's wheel of flowers prancing on a fence. Boldly red flowers brightly sense, drama and intention surreal. Overgrown, do my thoughts condense. But within tangling captured whence, images of beauty now unsealed of flowers prancing on a fence. As my brushes flick loose or tense, their shadows in paint strokes left wheeled, of flowers prancing on a fence, overgrown, in my thoughts condense, in poem.
Yeah, I hope we get some poems that sound like that, as pretty as that one when we
don't
do the judge.
Don't have to do a Villanelle, but if you want to do a Villanelle, something like that would be wonderful. So, with that, Deb, I think we're finished. we're all done. And we wish everybody a great week and a peaches it will be with Hatter hosting next week.
All right.
Yeah. Plan. We'll have fun with the kids and love and respect everyone.
Thank you.
Have fun with
Thank
you.
You
have
everybody.
Fun, Hatter.
And
talk to you soon, guys.
Yeah. Thanks, Hatter. Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks, Deb. Talk to everybody
Bye.
Soon. Bye.
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 Bye, everybody.